see, let's see.
Glad everyone came early because there is a bar mitzvah next door, so right. Parking could be tougher on your way out.
Okay, so tonight, welcome everybody. Tonight is January 13th, and it is the ninth lecture in the French Revolution. So last week, we spoke about Israel Jacobson, and he is known to everybody as the father of reform. He was the one that, he grew up religious, but he felt he wanted to get in good graces with our Christian brothers. He wanted the Jews to be accepted by them. And he felt that, in order for that to happen, the Jewish religion has to get with it, get with the program, become more like the Christian religion. And that's really what we saw last week. He had a shul in Sisson, and we did a little bit about his shul, about what his innovations. And basically, he was trying to make his shul, which was attached to a school, more like the like a Christian,
church,
like a ceremony, not ceremony, but their davening, however you would call it. He did a number of things in order to try to, make it like a showcase, like a Christian place. And this is basically what we did last time. We also spoke about his speech, very telling on what he believed, what he was hoping to accomplish. Now, what tonight I wanted to talk about was the Kingdom of Westphalia. Now, the Kingdom of Westphalia, what we'll learn about, was this is all part of the Napoleon era, the Napoleon Wars. And basically through the wars, he created this Kingdom of Westphalia, and Jacobson became very prominent there. And we'll see, and once he became prominent, and the idea that the government controls everything, that's the way Napoleon set it up in France, he copied that, and he became like in control of the Jewish religion. And that's really what we'd like to show. So how did Westphalia come about? There was a war of the Fourth Coalition, right? So this is, I guess, in 1806 already. This is the fourth time all of Europe decided to take on France. The first two was before Napoleon came into power. The third was in the middle. Napoleon ended up as emperor, finished off the Third Coalition, and now is the Fourth Coalition. And the main protagonist, I guess, the main first two in this one was Prussia and Russia. Prussia is sort of part of Germany, and they were the two of them were the ones that led the coalition, along with, again, Britain. Great Britain's on everyone. They're like public enemy number one. Sweden, Saxony, okay. And this is what the Fourth Coalition, these were the wars that went on. Prussia declared war on France, and they were very nervous after Austria and the Third Coalition capitulated and gave a lot over to France, and they felt threatened. And basically, when the main thing is Napoleon came up with this Confederation of the Rhine, which is basically he took apart the Holy Roman Empire, which had been for, at that point, over 1,000 years. And it was the Holy Roman Empire. It also had like hundreds of different like city-states. And he basically, reconfigured it, and it became called, he called it the Confederation of the Rhine. one of the things he wanted to do in order to try to make peace with Britain, he wanted to give them Hanover. I guess Prussia also felt that Hanover is one of these areas in the Confederation. Prussia had its eye on it. He was afraid if you give it to Britain, they won't get it. So what do you do? Of course, you declare war. Moving on, so Napoleon, they went to war. Napoleon destroyed the Prussians. I mean, that just wiped them out. He entered Berlin, which was their capital, and he pursued them till the end. Prussia really signed just peace treaty. There was nothing left of Prussia. They were allowed, I think, about 40,000 soldiers after all said and done. Then he went to fight Russia. The first battle was inconclusive, and then the next battle, he did much better. And the Battle of Friedland, Napoleon is successful against Russia. He sued for peace with Russia, and part of this part was with Russia, which ended up leading to the fifth war and the really destruction of Napoleon, is that Russia was supposed to join it's called the Continental Treaty, and that really was Napoleon wanted to isolate Great Britain and just get them, and therefore nobody in Europe was allowed to trade with Great Britain, with England, and basically he would go to war with Portugal, who was the ally, and then afterwards, when Russia first agreed not to deal with Great Britain, but when they broke that agreement, that's when Napoleon attacked Russia. He attacked it. He gathered an army of over 400,000 soldiers, and after all said and done, he came back to France with 40,000. He lost all those soldiers, and that was pretty much, he couldn't recover, and then after the Fifth Coalition, that was pretty much it. They threw him on an island, he escaped, came back to France, and they sent the army to arrest him. When they saw him, they joined him, and it took the Sixth Coalition to once again take at Waterloo, that's, the famous place, and they finally put him on some island off Africa, where he died. Okay, but now we're still in the Fourth Coalition. Russia's defeated and Prussia's defeated. Now, what do you do with Prussia? This is the Treaties of Tilsit. That was the big treaty with Prussia on Prussia. He took a lot of territory from Prussia. You're gonna see what Prussia was originally and what it looked like after this treaty. And also, and from this area, he's going to make a kingdom called the Kingdom of Westphalia. He's going to give the kingdom to his brother, Jerome Bonaparte. And also, he's going to create out of Prussia something called the Duchy of Warsaw, which is really was Poland. Poland ceased to exist in 1795. It was hundreds of years. It was a very strong, powerful nation, and basically the dukes and the nobles of the nation didn't give their king a lot of power, and they were all like on the take from foreign powers, and eventually it just the foreign powers just overtook it, swallowed, pulled them up, and it ceased to exist until the 1900s. Somebody just pull something out.
It's this one here.
Alright, we just may have to wait a minute till it just fires up again. Alright, so so that's what he created. And again, he was hoping Poland, you get these nobles. It was only 20 years or so since 1807 from 95, and maybe a little bit, 10, 12 years. He was hoping, you create a new kingdom there or a duchy, And it's and you can get the nobles back on your side. You get your independence back. It was swallowed up by three countries, Poland, swallowed up by Russia, Prussia, and Austria. And each one took a nice part of Poland. They all swallowed it up. And now Napoleon's coming back, and he's making an area of it again under French auspices. Okay, this is the Treaty of Tilsit. It was made on some river, in the middle of a river between two places. This is what Prussia looked like. This is the area of Prussia that looked like before the war in 1805. Down here is Austria and Russia, all the way into the German states. But by the time Napoleon was done with it, this is what Prussia looked like. He took a bite out of it in the West and created the Duchy, the Warsaw Duchy in the West. And on the left, he took a lot out of it and added it to the Confederate of the France is like over here somewhere, but this is the Confederate of Germany that he created. And again, it's the way it is, it's going to be for 8 years while he's in charge, things, you know, and then when he loses it all, it all goes back to the way it was, almost the way it was. Okay, this is what, I guess, Central Europe is what it would have been. Here's a Confederation of the Rhine, and this is really what we need, because in the Confederation of the Rhine, he's going to create Westphalia. I believe it's going to be like around over here. This is what Prussia was left with. Here's the Grand Duchy of Warsaw, taken out of Prussia, Austrian Empire, Russian Empire, okay, French Empire. All right, again, the Duchy of Warsaw. Again, another, you see different just pictures of what they look like. Again, another Duchy of Warsaw. You see, this is where Poland was when it was a country. Okay, and now this in the Confederation of the Rhine, he's going to make a little thing in the middle of Westphalia. Okay, so now this is the area that we're talking about. In the Confederation of the Rhine, so he creates a kingdom, Westphalia, and gives it to his brother Jerome. Okay? War would return in 1807. Basically, Napoleon really wanted to stick it to England, and when Portugal refused to join the continental system, Spain, which was under by France, and France both invaded Portugal. Okay? And then, I don't know how this happened, I don't understand, but eventually France said, forget about Portugal, we're invading Spain. Mm. So now he had a war in Spain and Portugal. So I don't know if the Portugal war ever went through, but he ended up with a war in Spain, and this is the area, in the middle of Spain, he had the green area. Portugal, this was on the west west side, and it was also in areas of on the east side that was also anti-French. Didn't have this area here, and this is also was an area that bogged Napoleon down. He had to constantly fight wars here. I mean, just not necessarily had to do with us. The only thing is it again was. This is like, I guess, the first time Napoleon had defeats, or it was in this area. Okay, Prussia was taking all these different things away from it. It was reduced to an army of about 43,000, and it was made to pay 154 million francs. Okay, all right. Napoleon sliced off a huge chunk of this to make the Kingdom of Westphalia. And that's really what the Kingdom of Westphalia would look like. This is the Confederation of the Rhine. So in the northern part, this is everything in red here Kingdom of Westphalia. And this is Jerome was the king here. And now this is where our story is going to take place. with the with Jacobson, with Israel Jacobson. Okay, again, these are his brothers. He had five of his siblings had different places. Louis Napoleon had was the king of Holland. We spoke about Holland before. That was the where the Jews had a split off minion, a Das Yeshurun. They were the minion of the Maskilim, and when the consistory came in, they put the Das Yeshurun out of existence. But here it's going to be the opposite. Here in Westphalia, it's going to be the reform that's going to put the Orthodox out of existence, pretty much out of existence, except those that are Orthodox are just going to have to find other alternatives. It's going to go on for a number of years. Okay, Elise Napoleon was the Duchess of Tuscany. Eugene Napoleon ruled Kingdom of Italy, actually he was a stepson, and Joseph Napoleon was King of Spain. Okay, that's what he did, and that's what he made. Okay, one of the things of Westphalia, was the first German state to grant Jews equal rights, became a model of other Jews. Jerome appointed the militant religious reformer Israel Jacobson to head the kingdom's Jewish affairs. There were 15,000 Jews there. And basically what Israel Jacobson is going to do is he's going to make a meeting of notables like they did in France, and from the notables he's going to make a consistory like they did in France, and he's going to be running the consistory. Just to get an idea of who Jacobson was, is in 1808, January 1808, he made for himself a medal, a commemorative medal. One side one side was him, but the other side were two angels symbolizing Judaism and Christianity united in the kingdom of Westphalia. And that's what his mindset
now,
was.
Did Napoleon know what was going on with the Jews?
Wait, it gets better. Jacobson saw Napoleon as the emancipator of the Jews. On the occasion of an assembly of Jewish notables in Paris, he addressed an enthusiastic letter to Napoleon. That was when Napoleon called this meeting of notables, which eventually became the Sanhedrin. He sent a letter because of the meeting of Napoleon of these notables. He sent a letter to Napoleon, Yashakayach. He sent it, and the same he published a book, Jacobson, suggesting that the Emperor should organize a Supreme Jewish Council, which would be headed by a patriarch and whose seat would be in Paris. It is possible Napoleon's idea of the Sanhedrin stemmed from Jacobson's suggestion. So this idea of making a Sanhedrin, people want to claim it's Jacobson's idea. He was the one that said, why don't you make like a Sanhedrin? He planted the seed. It could have been, it was his suggestion outright. Napoleon said, hey, that's a great idea. 1807, Brunswick became part of the Kingdom of Westphalia, and Brunswick is where Jacobson was. And so how did he get in with Jerome? Well, Jerome borrowed a lot of money from Jacobson. So once that happened, Jerome was why he sold him a lot of state property, and now he had a relationship. Wars are going on all the time. Wars are very costly, and Jacobson supplied money, lent the money. So now, naturally, he has a big in on everything. So like I said, in 1808, he made his own gathering of Jewish notables, and the majority of Westphalia's Jews were Orthodox. They were not, but that didn't stop him. And after the notables, he made a consistory just very, very similar of what they did in France. So he now had